Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes I like to hear some of the, I'm not sure if they're really oldies. I don't really call them oldies, but, you know, stuff from the 90s there. Shout to the Lord. That's a wonderful, wonderful song. Like I said, Mom and Dad and the Crusade team, they just finished up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota last night, and tonight they're in Omaha, Nebraska, so keep them in your prayers as you pray. Also, tonight we're going to do something we normally don't do a whole lot on a Wednesday night. We're going to minister to the sick tonight. If you happen to be sick, you know, we are going to minister to you, but I'm going to preach a little bit different message when it comes to sickness and disease. I actually titled it Preventative Maintenance. All right, that's the title of my message. First of all, we know that it is God's will to heal us, amen? We know that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to take the stripes on his back. And of course, we read in 1 Peter 2:24, it says this, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripe you were healed. Now, the Bible says we were healed, not we're going to get healed, not we're hoping to get healed, not if we pray hard enough, not if we do this, not if we give enough money, we're going to be healed. It says, by his stripes, we were healed. If we were healed, that means you is healed. You are healed, all right? You're a healed person. Whether you feel like you're healed or not, according to God's word, you're healed. Now, how do you receive God's healing? Through your faith. By simply taking it. First of all, you have to know that he did come, he did die, he took the stripes on his back. And once again, I always mention that Jesus could have died on the cross for our salvation. We still could have made it to heaven. But he did what my dad calls extry. He went the extry step. He took the stripes on his back, and it was because of the stripes that you were healed. In fact, 7,000 years ago, years before he died on the cross, the prophet Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, I want you to confess that you are healed, that you were healed, whenever you don't feel good. Amen. See, that's the time that you need to be talking. You need to talk yourself into healing and talk yourself out of sickness. The words that we speak determine who we are, determine what we have, determine everything. And so many times that the words, we speak death words. You know, the Bible talks about that I've set before you life and death. Now choose life, but some people still choose death. You know, a lot of times people will say something like, my back is killing me. All right, first of all, you shouldn't say anything's killing you because it's not killing you. I know you're talking about your back is hurting. But, you know, if we talk about how much we hurt and how much we hurt, it seems that we hurt more. Now, I used to have a bad habit. You know, we all have had habits, some good habits, some bad habits. Well, I had a bad habit of always talking about how tired I was. And the more I talked about how tired I am, the more tired I felt. So then, you know, I decided that I'll just talk about how tired I am, because you know what? You know, this is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, the strength of the living God's on the inside of me. Sometimes I don't get as much sleep as I probably should. Probably it's I want to blame myself. It's probably my mom's fault, though, more than anything else. So if you know my mom doesn't sleep. She's never slept. And because my mom doesn't sleep a whole lot, she... I don't know what happened to my sister, but you know, my sister likes to go to bed early. But I inherited my mom's routine. And so it's normal. I mean, you know, I can call my mom at 1 in the morning, she's going to be up. And call my mom at 2 in the morning, she's going to be up. She can call me at 2 in the morning, and I'm going to be up. It's what it is. I never had a bedtime in my life. You know, I don't know why. My mom never get me. Now, she did say this. She said, if you gripe and complain in the morning time, then I'm going to make you have a bedtime. So I just didn't gripe and complain in the morning time. As long as I got up to go to school, that's all that really mattered. So you know, I'm a late night person. Sometimes I don't get all the sleep that I need, but you know what? I'm not tired. I'm excited. Amen. Amen. But we have been healed. Not we're going to get healed. Not, you know, some people say, well, I'm believing I'm going to get my healing. Well, that's a lie because you've already been healed. You can't believe you're going to go get something you already have. All right. You have already been healed. And that's it. You need to tell your mind you're healed. Now, sometimes you don't feel like you're healed. Now, my grandfather would never say that sickness is coming upon him. He'll say symptoms are trying to come upon me. See, that's the thing about it is that, you know, symptoms will try to come upon you. But you know what? Once again, that Jesus came, I like it where it says, Acts 10:38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You know, we serve a God that loves us so much that wants us to walk in healing and health. That's why he sent his son Jesus, not only to die on the cross, but to take the stripes on his back. And it was like I said, prophesied beforehand. Now, we all know one of my scriptures that I read quite a bit, John 10:10. It says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, you can't have an abundant life if you're not feeling good. All right. I've never visited someone in the hospital that says, well, praise God, they're living abundantly. Especially if you're, you know, dying of terminal cancer or something like that. But even if not, there's been times where I've had a fever of 102 or something like that. I don't feel like I'm living life abundantly. Now, thank God it's only temporary, but still, it doesn't feel like abundant life at the time. All right? Now, here's the thing, is that we have to not be moved by how we feel. Because as soon as we start feeling bad, then we start talking about how bad it is. We start talking about, how bad it is, and, you know, I feel this and I feel that or whatever. Now, John 10:10, New Living says this, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So the devil's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And one way he does steal, kill, and destroy you is he tries to put sickness and disease on you. All right, so now this is where preventative maintenance comes in. You know, a lot of times we never think about healing until we get sick. We never think about healing. But, you know, my mom actually, I heard her talk, you know, one day. She was talking about that every morning when she has her devotional time, she always confesses that cancer cannot live in her body. I thought that was good. I started doing that. Then I started saying, well, why do I want to stick to one sickness and disease? So I started saying every morning that sickness and disease cannot live in my body. That's preventative maintenance. Now, that, even when I'm not sick, I say that. All right? And if symptoms are trying to come upon me, I'll say it multiple times a day. And so just the other day, I came in contact with somebody that I'm close to, and I'm the one that bought it. I bought the COVID test for them. They came down COVID positive or whatever. And so someone said, well, aren't you concerned you're going to get COVID? I said, no, COVID cannot live in my body. See, that's preventative maintenance. See, you need to get rid of something before it even starts. Don't let it even start. You know, we do preventative maintenance on our car. I mean, hopefully some of you don't. That's why your car falls apart. You know, but like I said, I'm getting up on the 60,000 mile, service for my automobile. And so, as soon as it hits that, I'm going to go do preventative maintenance to keep my car from falling apart. Now, it is interesting. Most of you obviously know that my son drives a race car and things like that. And, you know, whenever you're racing and things, you know, during the week, you need to even go through and tighten all the bolts. Sometimes the bolts get loose or whatever. And it's funny because there are certain people that it's almost all the time that their car's breaking all the time. And it's because they don't do any preventative maintenance, during the week. They just like load the car up and take it back out the next week and something falls apart and then they try to fix it. But, you know, we a lot of times, we don't decide to prevent sickness. Now, we all know, like, for instance, Everybody knows when it's flu season, all right, or allergy season. When, you know, when I said the ragweed is whatever. Well, if you deal with allergies, why don't you confess that allergies can't live in your body all the time anyway, but especially whenever it's a point in time where there's the ragweed is high or this high or pollen count's high or whatever. When flu season hits, you know, instead of saying, now, I used to, when I, now this is when I was younger, okay, because I guess it was sometime in junior high, I decided to change my confession. But used to, every time that people at my, you know, grade were getting sick with the flu, I would say, well, I'll have the flu. And I always have it once a year. I mean, you know, because, you know, we confess that. Well, sometime during junior high, I decided I didn't want to have the flu anymore. So I just started confessing I'm not going to have the flu. And guess what? I didn't have the flu. Now, I didn't miss, you know, the bad thing about that, in junior high, you kind of want to miss a couple of days of school sometimes, but that's, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, the thing is we need to come against sickness and disease, especially when we know that people are getting sick around about us or whatever. I mean, you know, there are certain sicknesses and disease that are airborne and things like that, and you can get from other people. It's kind of like the cooties. You know, you touch someone with the cooties, you get the cooties. You didn't play that in second grade. In second grade, we used to play the cootie game. And, you know, so that's how I kind of think about sickness and disease the same way. Well, you might get cooties or whatever. The thing about it is when somebody else is sick, that doesn't mean you have to get sick. I don't care if they're your husband or wife or your kids and they're living in the same household and you're around them all the time and you're hugging them and whatever. Like, you know, the other day, my wife wasn't feeling very well, but I drank after. She said, you shouldn't have drank after me. I was like, I don't care. I'm not worried about it. Sickness and disease cannot live in my body. I'll tell everyone it can't live in my body. Why? Because I said so. And, you know, where'd you get it from? I got it from my grandfather. He's the one, you know, he didn't let sickness and disease live in his body. He always confessed it. That's why, you know, he talked about that the last headache he had was August of 1933. Too late to start having headaches now. But then he would say, but he passed up many marvelous opportunities to have a headache. When you ask him, what's a marvelous opportunity to have a headache? He said, my head would start hurting. I said, you had a headache. He said, no, I had symptoms of a headache. So what I do? Well, I talked to the symptoms. I commanded him to leave. I think they said the longest it ever took was an hour. All right, long as it, speaking of my grandfather, he would have been 107 years old yesterday. Yesterday was his heavenly birthday. He would have been 107. You know, it's kind of amazing that he's been gone for almost 21 years now. You know, not a day goes by when I don't think about him. And, you know, because it's pretty wild that, like I said, he would have been 107 years old. So anyway, chronologically, he probably wouldn't be here on the earth, you know, anyway. But most of us really thought, well, Brother Hagin will be alive till Jesus comes. Well, I guess he is, because I'm Brother Hagin. I got three boys that are Brother Hagin. So at least one of them already has a son who's Brother Hagin. So Brother Hagin will be on the earth when Jesus comes back. It might not be the Brother Hagin that you thought it was going to be, but it doesn't matter. Amen. Now, something else that my mom taught me, and I do every morning, is I claim the 91st Psalm over me all my kids. Now, the 91st Psalm, you know, really, I claim it more for protection, but it has a lot to do with healing. All right? You know, and I'm going to go ahead and read that in the New Living Translation. It says this: those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge and my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Now, the King James, or New King James, says pestilence, which is an epidemic. All right, or a pandemic, if we want to sort of. He says, he will protect you from deadly disease. So that's one reason to claim the 91st Psalm over your life every day. That's preventative maintenance every day. Because the Bible says he will protect us from deadly disease. It goes on to say, he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. I changed that to bullets, but anyway, because most people don't shoot arrows anymore. It says, do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness. So basically the Bible says, do not be afraid of any disease. And that was in the Old Testament. This was before Jesus came. But see, here's the thing. What happens is that I found out a lot of times people don't die of disease, they die of fear. As soon as they are told that they have a certain disease, they start getting afraid. And fear and faith cannot live in your heart at the same time. You're either going to have fear or you're going to have faith. Amen. Now, a lot of people think they're in faith and they're in fear. Because if you're not going to tell anyone, I know people try to keep it to themselves. They don't want to tell anyone. I mean, I'm going to shout from the housetop. If I go to the doctor and the doctor gives me some kind of bad report, I'm going to come and tell you about it. I've been very, candid about, I went through some kidney issues. Why do I want to tell you? Because I want you to pray for me. I want you to believe with me. I know so many times people say, well, I don't want to say anything because, I'm a healing minister. I don't care. I mean, don't you want people who love you to pray with you? I mean, it's like the man on the cot, the four guys, they carried him on top of the roof and let him down. Thank God for the four guys that were with him. Well, I need four guys with me, or four people, or more than four, however many. The more the merrier. And I believe that if you're afraid to tell people, you're dealing with something, then that's fear. That's not faith. And we're not meant to have to fight this alone. That's why we come to church. That's why we come together as fellow believers, so we can stand with each other whenever someone's, going through situations. But it says, do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, those evils will not touch you. Now, a lot of times when you think about, thousands of, people dying, you're thinking, well, maybe that's a war, maybe that's a natural disaster, but that could be a pandemic as well. All right, it doesn't matter how they're dying. It doesn't matter what's going on. The Bible says that they can die if they want to, but I'm not going to die. Amen. Well, but what about this disease? What about, well, Jesus Christ came that I don't have to suffer for that disease. He took the stripes on his back. He carried our pains. He was stricken for us. He took our pain. It goes on to say, just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. Now, do you believe that? You don't believe it. I mean, I claim it all the time. There's, no sickness, no disease, no plague, no evil is going to come near my home. Definitely to be no evil. I have plenty of dogs, so if you walk in my door, you're going to get barked at like crazy, and you're going to wake up the whole house, so nobody's coming in. All right. It says, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hand, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call upon me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Now, I like the word long life. Now, you can't have a long life if you die of sickness and disease. Amen. All right? And, Jesus didn't come for you to have a long life dealing with sickness and disease. Some people say, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. No, Jesus suffered for you, so you don't have to suffer. All right? The only time that I always say I'm suffering for Jesus, that's whenever I'm ministering someplace where I get to stay on the beach. It's like I'm coming up, and if about a week or so, I'm going to be at the beach ministering, an RMAI camp in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And then 2 weeks later, I'm going to be in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. All right, so doing some beach ministry. Those are the times you suffer for Jesus. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be there that long, so I can't suffer as long as I need to. I like to suffer a little longer sometimes, maybe for a month, maybe two. Well, we have Rainbow Bible Training College starting, so I have to teach class. So anyway, now here's the thing. Like I said, preventive maintenance. That's why I claim the 91st Psalm of my life every day, whether I'm dealing with sickness or disease or not. Don't wait until you deal with sickness to take authority over it. Now here's something else. You know, a lot of times when people get a cold, they don't do anything about it. They wait till they're totally on their back and barely move before they even decide to take authority over it. Well, that's not preventative maintenance. I mean, you know, I said, the other day, sickness tried to come up on me. My throat started getting sore. All right? What do I say? Sickness and disease cannot live in my body. But here's the thing. You know, my dad has this saying, the natural and the supernatural coming together makes an explosive force for God. Amen? So we have natural, supernatural. So not only did I take authority over it, I took some extra vitamin C and some extra other vitamins that's good for me. Why? Because you know what? There's some things in the natural we can do. Something else in the natural we can do that I need to do more of is sleep. All right? So I rested a little more because your body needs to recuperate. But you know what? Obviously, James 4:7 says this, so humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, one way to resist the devil is say, devil, you cannot put that on me. Amen. Now, he's going to try to put it on you. He's going to try to sneak it in there sometimes. You know, a lot of times, though, what happens is, like I said, our throat hurts or this, that, and we don't do anything about it. Well, we'll take some Advil and, you know, and we'll keep going. Or whatever, but man, it's. I mean, even before you start hurting, like I said, you know, if you know a lot of people are getting sick, I know for whatever reason a lot of people here recently seem to be getting sick. All right, well, you know, sickness and disease cannot live in my body. I say it all the time. In fact, I say it multiple times a day. Why? Because I believe it. All right, and so you know, I want to tell the devil ahead of time, he cannot dwell in my body. All right. Now, that obviously we can get healed of our sickness and disease, but it's a whole lot better not to get sick. Amen. I mean, I believe that, you know, Jesus came, like I said, he came that we might have life, have it more abundantly. He really would rather us not be sick at all. I mean, you know, and so if we do preventative maintenance, we can keep ourselves from getting sick. All right, I mean, you know, we just take authority over it all the time. I mean, you know, like I said, every time, you know, the devil tries to put that on us, we say, we're not going to take it. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go today, maybe you are in this place, and maybe you do have sickness and disease in your life. I don't want you to leave this place with any kind of, I don't care if you just have a headache. I don't care if you just have a cold. If you have any kind of sickness and disease in your life right now, get down here. We're going to take care of it right now. Just get down here. Amen? The power of God is present to heal you tonight. Amen. Now, when you get down here, I want you to expect to be healed. All right? Now, I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. And we all know this. You've heard Brother Hagin say this. One way, not the only way, but one way Jesus heals is through the laying on of hands. Well, tonight we're going to lay our hands upon your head. I'll probably say something like be healed or take it or something like that. Doesn't matter. What I say doesn't really matter. I don't care what I say. That doesn't matter. What I want you to know is that when I put my hands upon your head, the power of God, the healing power of God is going to flow into your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. What I want you to do is I want you to open up your mouth and say, I take my healing now. I take my healing now. And what is that doing? You are acting on your faith. And as soon as you say that, you're gonna feel that healing power of God flowing in your body. Amen? Now, I'm going to ask, once you get down here, I want to ask you to just close your eyes. And if you want to, lift both hands toward God. And I want you to think about two things. Jesus Christ and your healing. Jesus Christ and your healing. Don't worry about anything else, because nothing else really matters. Amen? Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here. Father, we thank you right now for the healing power of God that's going to flow into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet as we lay hands upon them. We thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see in the name of Jesus. We're going to start with this lady right here. We're going to go that way. Hallelujah. In the name. That's it right there. That's it right there. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There it is. Receive your healing now. That's it right there. Receive your healing now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of There it is. Receive your healing now. Now, if you wake up tomorrow or later on and you're still hurting, instead of saying, oh, man, I hurt, I want you to say, I'm healed. Every time you hurt, you say, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. The healing power of God is working in my body.